In the first century BC, Roman historian Sallust said, "Prosperity tries the souls, even of the wise." Hi, I'm Rob West. Most people would choose financial prosperity despite its temptations, but what if you're living with financial adversity? Today we'll talk about how to be wise in good times and bad. Then we have lots of great listener questions ahead, but we won't be taking your live calls today because this program is pre-recorded. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. When things are going well financially, it's tempting to take credit for your success. This can lead to sins like pride and greed. Adversity has its own set of temptations. Self-pity, bitterness, and envy are a few typical responses to hard times. And these aren't godly attitudes either. There is a better way, of course. Christians are called to live with integrity, no matter the circumstances we face. But how do we do that consistently? Well, according to the Bible, the key to godly living in both good times and bad is wisdom. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." Fearing the Lord means to respect and honor His authority. It also means to obey His commands. We do this because we understand the consequences of breaking God's rules. Scripture confirms that fearing the Lord in this way is the first step toward living wisely. Good parents know that children need boundaries, both for safety and healthy development. God has set boundaries for His children as well, boundaries that protect us spiritually and physically. When God says no to something, like stealing or dishonesty, it's because those things hurt us by breaking relationships with other people and with the Lord. Because God loves us, He sets these boundaries for our lives. When we obey, we're safe and at peace. So, fearing the Lord isn't about being afraid. It's about learning to love and obey our Heavenly Father even more. Wisdom is something that begins with a healthy respect for God's authority. That means whether you're struggling financially or experiencing a time of prosperity, you can still live wisely. Pay attention to what God says, and you'll begin to receive the benefits of wisdom. Here are a few of those. Discernment. Proverbs 2:9 says, "The wise will understand what is right and just and fair." Guidance. Proverbs 3:6 reminds us that in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Blessing. In Proverbs 3:13, we read that blessed is the man who finds wisdom. Good reputation. In Proverbs 3:35, the wise inherit honor. Protection. Proverbs 16:6 says, "Through the fear of the Lord, a man avoids evil." Those are certainly desirable benefits and all available to you, no matter what kind of financial state you're in. And what about those who choose not to honor God and live by His rules? Well, the Bible calls the people who do that fools. Fool is a strong term referring to someone who deliberately destroys themselves. Psalm 14:1 puts it plainly. The fool says in his heart, "There is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is none who does good." God warns that fools will suffer shame, disaster, distress, and troubles. You definitely don't want to be foolish in your finances or your life. So how can you follow a path of wisdom in your day-to-day financial decisions? Well, first, understand how God views money and possessions. The Bible tells us that God owns everything, and we are to be wise caretakers of whatever we have. He's not really concerned about your bank balance. What matters is where your heart is. Ask the Lord to change your heart so you can follow Him in this area. Second, being financially wise means living by biblical principles. For example, practice integrity in all your dealings and consider others more important than yourself. You can find out more about this at faithfi.com. A third key to financial wisdom is contentment. When you invite God into your finances, trusting Him to lead you and provide what you need, you'll begin to understand 1 Timothy 6, "Godliness with contentment is great gain." So what do your actions and attitudes about money reveal about you? Are you wise or foolish? If you're committed to Jesus, following the Lord with all your heart, it will show in your financial choices. Whether God in His wisdom has provided you with adversity or prosperity, you can be confident in God's love and provision. You can be prepared to deal with any financial circumstances when you're focused on what's really important, and that's following Jesus. As I said, we're off today, so don't call in, but we've got some great calls lined up in advance, so we'll go to those just around the corner. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
Few wounds are more damaging than when a child is abandoned by a parent. And if that's something you've had to experience yourself, then there's something you should know about Jesus. He knows what that pain feels like. He experienced it on the cross when the Father turned away from him and Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" This moment of pain far exceeded the physical pain of crucifixion, but think of this. Because Jesus went through that, you need never fear being abandoned by God, not if you belong to Jesus. Try out Anchor Devotional, delivered to your home in print every month. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
For centuries, America has enjoyed the blessings of religious freedom. But today, our religious liberties are threatened by those who ignore God and stray from our Christian heritage. This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress explains how Christians in America can be salt and light in our rapidly declining culture. Listen all this week to Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. You know, before we dive in today, as we think about dealing with financial matters through the lens of Scripture, I think we have to start with some big rocks, if you will. You remember that illustration with the jar and the sand and the rocks? You have to put the big rocks in first or you'll never get the sand in. Those big rocks, as it relates to biblical money management, are first lordship. We have to surrender to the fact that God owns everything. Psalm 24:1 is clear. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live within it. That second rock then is stewardship, using God's resources to fulfill his purposes. Genesis 2:15, among other verses, remind us that the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work and care for it. So we're to take God's creation and be productive, to order it, to improve upon it, and that is our responsibility. Well, that includes managing the physical resources that God entrusts to us. And then perhaps that third rock, among others, would be generosity, that sharing releases the world's grip on us. A fourth might be contentment, that we're to live within God's provision. And when we put these big rocks in, well, those are the foundation to the decisions that we make. And those come, we realize, are all around us. You know, every day you're faced with financial decisions that you're looking to run through the lens of biblical wisdom. Well, we want to help you do that. So let's dive in today. We're going to go out to Albuquerque to begin today. And Cody, you'll be our first caller, sir. Go ahead.
Hey there, Rob. Can you hear me okay?
I sure can, yeah.
Awesome. So I guess my question was, I'm a newlywed. I'm only 26 years old. So I was looking to invest in something, whether it be real estate. But my main question was on the topic of cryptocurrency, and if you had any perspective on, you know, where it's going to go maybe in the future, like if it's, you know, when stocks first came out, everyone thought it was a big gamble and whatnot. But I mean, I know cryptocurrency is pretty new to the general public. But I mean, I don't know if you had any, you know, fresh perspectives that would fill my mind, you know, maybe if it's good, bad, you know,
yeah,
or if you're warm about it, kind of just asking about that, I guess.
Yeah, makes sense, Cody. So some thoughts generally about crypto, and then we can get into your specific situation. First of all, I don't think it's going anywhere. I mean, this is a new form of computing technology. We're thinking about it most often these days in the form of a new digital financial system, but it will have far more applications than just that in terms of the technology behind it, and it's not going anywhere. Now, as it relates to a new form of money, you know, we most often think about Bitcoin, and that kicked off in 2008 with an anonymous white paper that, interestingly, was only 9 pages long. Anyone can download it and read it. But the vision was a peer-to-peer currency outside the control of any government, and it checks all the boxes of functional money. You know, these, you might have learned about these in economics class: durability, portability, fungibility, scarcity, divisibility, and recognizability are a few of them. And more importantly, and in direct contrast to the inflationary monetary policies we're seeing around the world today, Bitcoin was designed from the beginning to be sound money. So unlike government currencies, which are constantly being devalued and by printing more, there's a fixed cap of Bitcoins at 21 million that can ever be produced. And so it has a lot of the same, quote, sound money appeals that have attracted people to gold. And that's why you'll often hear it called digital gold. Now, the value of Bitcoin raced ahead at an astonishing pace, and it's had quite a bit of volatility along the way. But the big idea is that the technology, which runs on something called blockchain, which is that record of transactions that are maintained on a decentralized network of computers, are pretty appealing. Because in this age right now, where people are questioning, you know, the Federal Reserve and global health institutions and what they're telling us, and big tech companies that are deplatforming people, there's quite a bit of appeal here because it doesn't require this blind trust in an institution that's controlling the ledger. And so with cryptos, it takes something we're already familiar with: currency, saving, lending, and so on, which normally requires us to interact with a big institution, and it redesigns that function using a computer code in a way that enables groups to accomplish it in a trustless, decentralized way. Now, as it relates, so that's the technology, but as it relates to an investment, it's still pretty speculative. And so because of where we are still very early in the development of cryptos, we're in that speculation phase, like you might have thought of the dot-coms in, you know, 99 and 2000. AI is in a similar place now. And so there's a lot of volatility in crypto, and in particular because, you know, number one, we just don't know still today which cryptocurrencies are going to survive and which ones are going to end up worthless. We've already seen a few of them fail. And then secondly, we don't totally know how the governments around the world are going to react to Bitcoin and other cryptos as they threaten their stranglehold over money, frankly. And so they, you know, governments get a lot of benefit from controlling their currencies and giving people a way to opt out of the official money via something like Bitcoin could ruffle some feathers and has been. So I think for those reasons, I would keep it in the most speculative category. And when we're dealing with speculative investments, we need to have all of our other boxes checked first. So I would want you to be out of consumer debt, namely credit cards. I would want you to have that emergency fund. I'd want you to be saving in your retirement account. But if you had all of those pieces in place and you said, I wanted to take 5%, certainly no more than 10% of your portfolio and put it in something like Bitcoin, I would be okay with that as long as you understood the inherent risks along the lines of what I just described. Does that make sense, though, Cody?
Yeah, that makes complete sense. I guess it's just I'm just trying to find something, I guess, along the lines of either like real estate or something. Just because I'm self-employed, so that's the kind of the reason that because I don't have I'm not accumulating any 401k or anything like that right now, and just for the fact of I guess I make more money doing. Being my own boss, I guess, in a way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you have a SEP IRA, SEP IRA?
I don't.
Okay. That might be something to look into because that's going to allow you to put away a lot more money than you would be able to in an IRA, for instance. So the SEP IRA is going to allow you to put in $69,000 or 25% of your compensation, and then you could invest it in a crypto ETF, but I'd make that a very small portion and put the bulk of it in a properly diversified stock and bond portfolio. And then when you're ready, I love real estate as well, but I think getting that money in a tax-deferred environment in a SEP IRA would be a great next step for you. Cody, thanks for your call, my friend. God bless you. Before we head to the break, this is a great time for me to remind you about the FaithFi app. You know, we built the app so that you would have a money management tool that allowed you to build your budget using the tried and true envelope system, but to do it in a simple, beautiful format. We built it for you so you could stay on budget. We'd love for you to check it out. You'll find it in your app store. Just search for FaithFi, Faith and Finance. You can go to our website as well, faithfi.com. You'll find it there. In addition to the money management system, you'll find all of our content, broadcast archives, and the FaithFi community, which is there for you to ask questions and get responses from other stewards on the journey with you. Again, faithfi.com. Just click app. As a reminder, we're not here today, so don't call in, but we'll be back with more questions right after this.
Hey, man, what are you doing?
I'm just lying here relaxing in a stream. I call it streaming.
Okay, you know that word already has another meaning, right?
AFA Streaming offers free and subscription video content. Titles like By Design, The God Who Speaks, and Asbury Revival, Desperate for More. You'll also find video versions of AFR programs. Visit AFA.net and click on Streaming.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Isn't it interesting that the first department store to allow cross-dressing individuals into either restroom was the same store which later marketed LGBTQ-themed clothing for children? Some of those clothes actually included a satanic logo. Target is a perfect illustration of the slippery slope which is moral decline. Such corporate policies accelerate depravity and endanger our wives and daughters who use Target restrooms or changing areas. Learn more and sign the Target Boycott Pledge at AFA.net.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
For over 40 years, American Family Association has stood for righteousness and God's truth in our nation.
American Family Association Executive Vice President Ed Vitagliano.
One important way you can join us in the battle is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation. The charitable gift annuity benefits you, and it benefits the culture-transforming work of American Family Association.
Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
We're so glad you're along with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Let's go back to the phones to Chicago, Illinois. Larry, thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
By the way, I want to start by saying congratulations to you and your staff for doing an extraordinary job.
Well, thank you. That's very kind, sir.
And your services are much needed.
I appreciate that. I'm delighted to do it. It's an honor.
Anyway, Rob, I'm just wondering, I have some stocks, and right now I also have an annuity, and I've annuitized it, I've discovered that the company that I have the annuity with will not charge me any cancellation fee if I decide to extricate myself from it. And I was thinking about doing that and combining it with my present stock funds. And I'm just wondering, is there a way that maybe I can get back to the same amount of my monthly income that I have from them both?
Potentially, yeah. So you can, in some cases, get out. In other cases, once you annuitize, you cannot. But they're saying they'll give you a lump sum amount, even though you've annuitized. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And what are they saying that they will give you? Do you have the cash value that they'd allow you to take out?
Basically about $100,000.
About $100,000. All right. And then what other investable assets do you have currently, Larry, outside of the annuity?
I have about $30,000.
Okay.
I have about $10,000 in the liquid cash.
All right. And the 10 is in addition to the 30 that you mentioned a moment ago?
Probably yes. I would say yes.
Okay. And then what is the $30,000 or thereabout invested in currently? Anything?
ETF, Vanguard ETF.
Vanguard ETFs. All right. And what is your work status?
I'm presently unemployed. Well, I'm part-time. I'm a home inspector.
Okay.
I'm part-time.
Okay. But you plan to continue working and you're looking for full-time work. Is that right?
Well, I look for work as it comes, to be honest with you, Rob. So if a client contacts me to do some work, then I'll consider taking it on.
Got it. All right. And what are you getting currently from the annuity per month?
About $500.
About $500. Okay. Which is not bad, because if we were to take that, $100,000 as a lump sum, and you were to invest it and try to convert it to an income stream, I'd tell you, you should probably only take $4,000 a year, which is $333 a month. You're getting $6,000 a year from that annuity, which tells me it may be better for you to leave it there if you need the income. Now, if you were to roll it out and pull the $100,000 as a lump sum and invest it, would you continue drawing on it? Is that necessary for you to cover your lifestyle expenses?
I don't know. I don't understand the question, Rob.
Okay. You're pulling $500 a month from the annuity, and that's your annuity stream. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. If you canceled that and instead took the $100,000 lump sum and you were to invest it, would you be looking to continue to pull $500 a month out of that $100,000 that's now invested outside the annuity?
Yes, I'd like to, yes.
Okay. And what I would say is that's a little bit more than I would like for you to take. Typically, if we're investing a lump sum and we're pulling a current income stream out of it, in an attempt to try to preserve the principal balance and not see it decline over time, we'd like to try to limit our withdrawal rate to 4% or less per year. And 4% on $100,000 is only $4,000. And currently, you're getting $6,000 a year out of this annuity. And so what I'm saying is, if you're looking to continue to draw an income of at least $500, I think you might want to stay where you're at, because if you were to pull it out and they're only giving you $100,000, I'd say I'd really like for you to drop your monthly withdrawals to about $330 or so. And if you aren't in a position to do that, you may be better off just sticking with the $500 a month guaranteed.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Rob. Yes, it does.
Yeah, okay.
I appreciate that advice very much.
Yeah, no problem. Now, here's the other option. If you can find some additional work that's steady that would allow you to cover this, I mean, I kind of like the idea of you having the lump sum available, because this is all you've got, and right now it's tied up in an insurance product, and I'd love for you to be able to have more ready access to it if you needed it. But if you're going to continue to rely on this for an income stream, I think you've got a good thing going there by getting $500 a month on what is the equivalent of a $100,000 lump sum, because that's a pretty good rate of return. And if they're going to guarantee that for the rest of your life, that's not bad, because that's a 6% return every year, $6,000 annually, which is $500 a month. That's pretty good. So, you know, if you're going to continue to need this money, I'd say leave it where it is, and then just try to pull as little as you can. Or if you have a surplus because you picked up some extra jobs, then just take that money and sock it away, perhaps even reinvest it in your Vanguard ETFs. Hopefully that's helpful to you, Larry. Listen, I appreciate your call today and your kind remarks about the program, sir. May the Lord bless you. Let's go to Arizona. Hi, Arnold. How can I help?
Yes, Rob. I got a question about the option of how you can, what option compared to waiting and paying the RMDs, okay, at the required age, and starting, say, 65 in that 8-year span, taking out big chunks out of your 401k or IRA. What do you feel about that?
Yeah, why are you feeling the need to get it out? I mean, even when the RMD kicks in, all that means is you're just required to take out a certain amount. It's going to be added to your taxable income, but you're going to keep the balance. So what's the concern there?
That could be a higher tax rate, from what I understand, 33 1/3 to even maybe 50%.
Oh, I see where
you're
going with
that. Right now, what I'm saying, if you could go up to 200 and with a standard deduction, say 227,000, you're still staying at 22%.
Yeah, I see. I mean, you're going to potentially, depending on how much you pull out, you know, you're going to allow that to trip up into a higher tax bracket. So you've got to be careful there. Let's do this. I'd love to dig into that, and I do have some thoughts on this. I've got to take a break, though. So, Arnold, stay right there, and as soon as we're done with this break, we'll pick it up on the other side and talk about where you go from here. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, and we'll be right back. Did you know the average person walks nearly 2,000 miles a year? Now think about the millions of children around the world who risk disease and miss out on opportunities simply because they walk those 2,000 miles without a decent pair of shoes. Around the world, Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls provides access to health, education, hope, and opportunity through the gift of shoes. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child right now.
This is Frank Gaffney, host of Securing America, a program dedicated to protecting the country we love against all enemies, foreign and domestic, to the glory of God and His kingdom. Each weeknight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, we provide insights and recommendations about the most important challenges facing our nation from her most thoughtful experts and patriots. Join me to learn how you can help in Securing America right here at 11 p.m. Eastern Time.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Have you downloaded the FaithFi app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
Do you want to prepare for God's calling on your life to ministry? Many people have a sense that God is calling them to ministry, but they don't know the next step to take. Here's a step that may be for you. Wesley Biblical Seminary offers a new Bachelor of Arts in Christian Ministry that's entirely online, and it will prepare you for whatever ministry God calls you to next. We want to equip you with knowledge and tools you need to confidently fulfill the calling that God has put on your life. Learn more at wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Before the break, we were talking to Arnold in Arizona. He's wondering about his 401k and some RMDs, required minimum distributions, that are coming down the road and whether he should consider pulling that money out now. What is your age now, Arnold, did you say?
Okay, my age, I'm already there. Okay, I'm real close to 73.
Okay,
but,
very good.
I'm talking, okay, in general, for the younger people that, you know, that because the time to make it up is either from 65 when you can draw your full Social Security or almost full return. That's 8 years to 73. And then if you have the timetable from 73 to 81, the RMDs, you know, I don't know what exact age they figure you're going to live to, compared to taking 22% tax rate right now for the first 8 years, then compared to waiting and maybe taking 33 and a third to 50%.
Yeah. Well, obviously there's a lot of unknowns there with regard to, you know, what that's going to go to. I mean, the current marginal rate under Tax Cuts and Jobs Act up to, for single filers at least, up to, you know, 182,000 is 24. That would jump up to 28% in 2026. The 32% bracket jumps to 33. The 35 bracket stays the same. So unless we see significant increases beyond that, then the increases would be nominal, and that would be offset by the ability to let that money continue to grow, just given that, you know, you would be able to pull that out at a much slower pace, even though you're going to have a little bit more in the way of tax. The other thing to keep in mind, Arnold, is the qualified charitable distribution. I mean, unless something changes in the tax code that prevents that, it does give you the ability to say, okay, if I'm doing my giving out of cash in after-tax dollars, which most people do, what if I stopped that and instead did my giving out of my IRA, which allows me to give away up to $100,000 a year, do perhaps the same level of giving I was going to do out of after-tax cash, but instead do it as a qualified charitable distribution, doesn't get added to my taxable income, and I'm satisfying my RMD at the same time. Are you aware of that strategy?
Yes, I was just reading on that on the AARP bulletin that comes monthly. That's $105,000 that you can get charitable. You can do that every year. I understand
right.
That. But what I'm saying, I'm trying to say that you can save 10% almost if you start taking those up to 200 and some thousand, as long as you stay between there, not over, and you'll stay at that 22% tax bracket instead of taking the chance and getting to 73 and RMDs are required at 33 and a third or even higher. You see, that's what I'm saying. I see that there's a chance to save almost 10% on taxes.
Yeah, but what if you never pay tax because you're doing your giving out of your IRA in the form of your RMD every year, and so it never becomes taxable, And in my way of doing it, you're leaving the money in the tax-deferred environment so it can continue to grow without the taxes impacting it, whereas as soon as you pull it out, now it's all taxable if you invest it because you don't need it all. And what if you leave it in there and then just satisfy the RMD through your giving every year?
Oh, okay, now another option that I've been put up with, and of course it'll cost me quite a bit of money, life insurance is not taxable to our, who we leave it to, okay? How do you feel about that? Because at this age where I'm at, I'd pay $5,000 for just a $100,000 policy.
Yeah, the problem is that's going to get a lot more expensive over time, and I would rather not fund an inheritance with life insurance. As you age, that's going to get more costly, and you're going to end up with a lot of fees and premiums being paid. You know, the only thing that's going to be taxable to your heir, to you, to your estate, assuming you don't have a estate over $13 million, the only thing that's going to be taxable to your estate is anything beyond that $13 million, at least today. And nothing is taxable to your heirs unless it's in, of course, an IRA. And then they would just pull it out based on whatever that schedule is, probably a 10-year pay, either a 5 or a 10-year payout, unless it's a spouse. So, you know, I'm not a big fan of funding inheritance through life insurance just because it's an unnecessary expense. I'd rather you just enjoy what you have and then leave it to your heirs. Most of that non-IRA, non-retirement account assets is inherited tax-free. But there's some good thoughts there. I'm not discounting what you're saying here, Arnold, and I understand that taxes are going to become more of an issue and a consideration if we don't see a change in administration. And, you know, we see the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act expire like it's set to, but I think there are some ways around it, notably through the qualified charitable distribution. But we appreciate your call today, sir. I hope that was helpful. Let's go to Tampa Bay. Hi, Julie. How can I help?
Hey, how are you doing today?
Doing great. Thank you.
My call is concerning. I was trying to figure out, thank you, if I made the right decision. So basically, I had some money from an inheritance, and it was invested into stocks and bonds. And when I first invested the money, you know, I was able to increase the money by $10,000. Then as time went on, it went under my initial investment. So, of course, I called them up, and I said, hey, look, I'm losing money. You know, so they said, well, you know, why don't you go ahead and put the money into some type of CD where I earn a certain percentage. It won't go under my initial investment, but at the end of, it's tied up for 4 years. At the end of the 4 years, I would have made an $85,000 profit. So I was trying to, you know, you wonder, should I have left it into the stocks and bonds, or, you know, I'm 61, and, you know, I plan to retire at 67. So just wanted to confirm with you if you thought I made the right decision moving it into the CD versus leaving it in the stock market.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good question. Julie, did you say you're 51 or 61?
I'm 61. I'll be 62 this year.
Okay. So you say you're about 5 years away from retirement. I mean, typically as a 61-year-old person, I would say, you know, about the right mix is maybe 50-50 between stocks and bonds, and you could put the CDs in the bond portion of that allocation. How much were you left that you invested?
I was left with $145,000.
All right, and what do you have today in the CDs? About that same amount?
It's a little bit more. I've gained about $3,000 since I switched it over to the CD.
Okay, so call it 150. And what do you have, retirement assets as well?
I have a 401k.
And how much is in there roughly?
$100,000.
About $100,000. All right. And when you retire in 5 years, what are you going to need in addition to Social Security each month to cover your budget? Do you know?
Well, I projected it, and I think what you mean as far as being able to pay all my bills and everything, I project that I would probably need like $2,500.
All right.
That's just paying bills. That's not counting buying a grocery. I didn't put that in there, you know.
Okay.
Or if I want to buy myself a new dress.
Yeah, no, I get that, and that makes sense. So here's what I would do, a couple of steps. The first question was, should I have gone into the CDs? I would have advised against it if you would have called me then, because I think you need to take a longer view of this. It's not a matter of what happens in a quarter or a year or even 2 years. Even when you retire, we need this money to last, if you're in good health, 30 years. So I would have said, let's keep at least half in stocks. Let's put the other half in bonds and fixed income type investments, and then let's ride it through. Even if we get into a recession and the market's down 20%, you don't sell. The other step for you is to do your retirement budget with everything in and figure out how much you need from Social Security and then how much is left that you need to pull from your investments. Stay on the line. We'll talk a bit more off the air. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Fostering and adoption is not a band-aid for infertility.
Nope,
like, it is a calling, and God can change the desire of your heart and make that so rewarding. It's the most beautiful, selfless thing. It's pure religion, but it's not a fix to I desire biological child. God has to deal with that in your heart separately.
Hannah's Heart, encouraging couples through infertility and miscarriage. Saturdays, 4 a.m. Central on AFR or on the AFR app.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a certified Kingdom advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
You know, if we're going to operate from a biblical worldview as it relates to money management, we have to start with the idea that God owns it all. That's a game changer in terms of how we manage money, because it puts God in his rightful place where he's always been, and that is the king of everything, the owner of everything. Remember, Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." That means it all belongs to him, which also means that we have a high calling as money managers of God's resources. The King of Kings resources. That's a incredibly high calling. So how do we approach that? Well, we have to understand the heart of the master. That's how any steward manages his or her master's resources. And we do that by going to Scripture, to God's Word, to say, what are the principles, the passages, the big ideas and themes that we should hold God's money loosely, that we should give generously, that we need to live with contentment, that we can't let money become an end, but it's a means to an end, a tool to accomplish God's purposes, and that having more than we need can be a distraction if we allow it to. You remember in the parable of the sower, that which robbed in the story the 30, 60, 100-fold return from the fruit of the word was the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things and the cares of this world. If we get too focused on the here and now, the temporal, we will miss the opportunity to keep our eyes focused on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and stay focused on the eternal, the life that is to come, and our ability to send God's resources on ahead through our giving. That's the treasure principle. So we've got to guard our hearts, but we also live in the here and now. And so we want to apply God's wisdom to our daily decisions and choices. We want to help you do that on this program. To Woodbury, New Jersey. Hi, Jessica. How can I help?
Hello. Hi. I'm calling because I have three jobs, and I was wondering, I know the Bible says you need to tithe. So I do tithe to my church every paycheck, but I have two more. So do I, my question is, do I tithe all three 10%, meaning 30%, or just 10%?
Yeah, it's a great question, Jessica. So the principle of the tithe would be applied like this. We look at, first of all, what is my increase? And in your case, your increase is anything that you receive. So it would be your income in the form of your paycheck, whether you get one paycheck from one employer or you get four paychecks from four employers, it doesn't really matter. That's all your increase. And then you could look at gifts or inheritance. I mean, there's a variety of ways we would receive an increase. And then no matter what you receive, the word tithe means a tenth. And so that's where that 10% tithe idea comes from. So the easiest way for you to do that would just be perhaps in any given week, you could just total up, what is the total amount of income that I received this week? And so maybe it's a week where you only received one check. Great. You'd take 10% of that amount. You'd write a check to your church and take it with you and stick it in the offering plate. If you received three checks in that week, whatever you received for that week, you'd total up all the amounts, regardless of how many different employers paid you. And then again, you would write a check for 10% of that amount. That would be the tithe, a tenth. So it really doesn't matter how many different people pay you. It's just 10% of the total income that you're receiving. So that doesn't equal with three checks, 30%. It's still 10%. It's just 10% of the total. And that total is made up of three different employers' paychecks. Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes a lot of sense. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Thanks for calling today. By the way, just a fun anecdote. You know, we have Ron Blue on the program regularly, and Ron shared a story about this recently. Ron's the popular author on biblical finance. He said he and Judy started giving electronically, and they liked it. It was very convenient, but they just felt like they were missing out on the act of worship. And he would be quick to say, and I would too, that you know, online giving is great. It's very efficient. Julie and I give electronically, and it just works for us. But he and Judy were sensing that they missed out on that kind of physical expression of taking their act of worship with them to church. So this is what they do. It's similar to what I just shared with Jessica. When they come down for breakfast on Sunday mornings, Ron has a little 3x5 card. He puts it on the table, and he's written down any income they receive for the week. Now, Ron's an author, so he's getting royalty checks, and he does consulting, and he works for various organizations. And so he might have half a dozen income sources. He just totals them all up on that 3x5 card and multiplies it by 10%, writes that number at the bottom. And then Judy writes out the check, the physical check for the amount based on that 3x5 card. And then when they head off to church, they take it with them. And they love it because it's a way they can celebrate on Sunday morning the tithe that they're taking. They're now both involved in it. And for them, they like the physical act of making that gift. Perhaps that's something to consider for you. It's a great question, though, from Jessica. All right, let's go to Akron, Ohio. Hi, Sally. How can I help you?
Hi, Rob. I listen to your program all the time, and I used to have investments, but had some high veterinary bills, and I'm on disability, and I'm trying to get an emergency fund. But every month I have to use the money that I put aside. And I just needed some encouragement for how to get an emergency fund. Because I think that's the first step I have to do.
Yeah, I think you're right, Sally. And boy, I can totally understand, especially now, more than ever. It just seems like there's always more month than money because expenses are up across the board. I was just reading the other day, Sally, that the same basket of groceries that they looked at 3.5 years ago versus today, again, the same items in the shopping cart are 21% higher today than they were 3.5 years ago. Well, that's real, and that's expensive. And you mentioned vet bills. And I know being a pet owner myself, Murphy, our golden retriever, you go to the vet, you're going to spend a lot of money. It's just the way that it is. And so I think the challenge is when you're on a fixed income and you have unexpected expenses, and it seems like the unexpected should be expected just because it happens so frequently, on top of the fact that expenses are up across the board, it's hard. So I think what we have to do is take a deep breath, invite the Lord into your financial life. You need to do your very best to budget your spending so that you don't allow your money to find its way into things that are unplanned, as long to the best of your ability. So try to control your spending. And then try to set as much aside as you can every month as surplus. So you got to live within your means, meaning you want to live below your income. So you have some, what we call margin or surplus. And the goal is for that margin to be able to go automatically into your emergency savings every month. It may be $25 or $50, but at least something is going in to emergency savings. Now, there's going to be those months where you get to the end of the month and you say, despite my best efforts and really trying hard on this, I just don't have anything left. In fact, I had to pull a little bit out of emergency savings. I get that. But the key is don't give up. Don't lose heart. Just stay at it. Be diligent and just try to get something into that emergency savings every month, even if it's just a few dollars, so that you can build it up over time. And the goal is, of course, and I realize this is easier said than done, the goal is to get to 3 to 6 months worth of expenses. And it may take you some time to do that, Sally, but I believe you can. Is that helpful, though?
That is helpful. I try my best. It seems like at the end of the month is when things happen. You know,
yes, ma'am.
I'm doing pretty good.
I know.
Then the end of the month comes and something comes up.
Yes, ma'am. I certainly understand that. Julie and I experienced that in our lives. You know, we use the FaithFi app, and so we've got our digital envelope set up. And so every day I'm in there and I'm watching them, and how are we doing in the eating out category? Now, we have 4 kids. One's off at college. I've got 3 in high school. And so, you know, and they're all athletes, and so they consume a lot of food, and I, you know, go through a gallon of milk just about every day, it seems like. But it seems like you're doing just fine, and then all of a sudden you open the app one day and it's like, what happened there? And it just seems like there's always unexpected expenses coming out of left field. But you just need to stay at it. Hopefully we can be an encouragement to you here, Sally, each day. But I do appreciate you checking in with us. And if you have any other questions along the way, don't hesitate to reach out. May the Lord bless you, Sally. And thanks for being on the program. And thank you for being a faithful listener as well. Folks, you know, here's the bottom line. As we think about just being faithful and managing God's money, we've got to start with this idea that God owns it all, because that's true. And then that makes every spending decision a spiritual decision, because you and I are money managers for the King of Kings. That's a high calling. And then we want to be found faithful, and so we have to apply biblical wisdom to our financial decisions. And here's one of the keys: give generously. Here's why. Giving breaks the power of money in our lives. And I've mentioned one giving opportunity today, and that is to support our work here at FaithFi. Let me finish today with one other, because we have a wonderful partner that I'm so excited about. It's called Butner Shoes for Orphan Souls. And you know, there's 42,000 children in some part of the globe right now waiting for something you and I take for granted every day, and it's socks and shoes. And Buckner is putting shoes on these underprivileged kids and underserved communities literally around the globe, so they can get to school, they can get to fresh water, and sharing the love of Jesus with them at the same time they're protecting them from disease. If you want to know more about it and even buy a pair of shoes through the website to put on one of these children, just go to giveshoestoday.org. That's going to do it for us today, folks. Thanks to my team, Devin Patrick, Pat Montague, and Jim Henry. Couldn't do it without them. Thank you for being here as well. Hope you have a great rest of your day, and come back and join us tomorrow. Lord willing, I'll be here, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.